Well, howdy from Texas.
Hey.
Texas Rangers, Comanche Indians. Oh, no, today it's all the techies in Austin and stuff. It's all civilized. Till you get outside past the cattle guard, and then there's no, all bets are off, right? One thing about Texas, you need to be careful with road rage because everybody is armed to the teeth. It's just kind of historical, but I give a little bit more in church, just a short word, so I won't say twice about it, but we are living in the Austin area of Texas. Not where I'm from. I'm from the Panhandle, which is way up in the west, what they call West Texas, but it's actually kind of North Texas. And where we live is beautiful. Up there is flat and lonely and dusty and wild. But we live in Austin. It's got its own. Well, it's kind of sister city. This will tell you a lot about it. The sister city is Portland. Keeping it weird, right? With all the ancillary stuff. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Job. We're going to be in the Old Testament, three places in the book of Job this morning. But greetings from the brethren that are there. We have two sons that live in the Austin area. And again, I'll give you I'll just wait for the second hour to tell a little bit about where we go to church and kind of what we're doing. But always appreciate being a part and having been a part of this church. And a Bible-believing church, what a blessing to come to a church. I've gone to churches, you know, some mega churches and whatnot since I left here, and you don't see a whole lot of Bibles. People come in with their phone, which is fine. I'm not being disrespectful to you this morning or put down, but, you know, man, there's just something about the pages turning for preachers. We love to hear that sound. Right? And instead of the swish of swipe left to right or whatever. Even flying here the other day, I won't say it was because I'm a spiritual guy, but I was watching a movie and man, my phone just wouldn't play it anymore. So what am I going to do? Oh, I'll read my Bible. That's a good thing to do. All right, but I pulled out my Bible, got it there. Anybody coming by, man, sees the pages and stuff, and, you know, people kind of look, and occasionally on planes I've had people stop and comment, hey, what a blessing, you know, to see somebody that loves the Word of God, you know. So I appreciate this church, Pastor Sherry, and all the history that we have here, and a lot of memories everywhere where you look. The bone-chilling morning cold here, which is nothing to you, but once you leave here and you go to a warm place and you come back, it's like, whoa. Yeah. We were laughing yesterday. It's like, I just remember the rain. You know, when we came here, we had been a year back in the States from Greece. Greece had 300 days of sunshine a year, and I remember one couple that said, you know, they're really worried about us getting the SAD, you know, seasonal attention deficiency disease thing, you know, and like, so he gave me this lamp, and I was like, this lamp is worse than the rain. I feel I'm in the operating room. It was awful, right? This is supposed to help me. But, you know, the big thing about the weather is that, one, if you don't have to work in that rain, you know, outside, well, that's a blessing. So I'm standing inside watching it pour. It's like, well, praise God, I'm inside. And then never heard weather reports like I heard here. Seriously, never heard this before in my life. We're going to have sun breaks today. My common sense tells me what that is, but, you know, I figured it out. Rains 25 times during the day, and sun comes out, and which that's a blessing, right? So you're like, bummer, and then, oh, bummer, yo. Yeah, it's exciting. So down in Texas, just blast of sunshine. And you say, what's it like in the summer? Hot. People say, why would people leave California and go to places that are like the edge of hell, you know, Arizona, Texas. It's no wonder the Apaches were so mean. Living that heat without air conditioning. But, we have the triple. Our weather in Austin, as far as temperatures, very much like Vegas, Phoenix, kind of across that latitude. We have more humidity. We don't have that desert. But we don't have 120 degrees in the summer, praise God. We'll get some triple digits, but it's not anything like that. But appreciate the sunshine, and thank you so much for welcoming us, my wife and I. Just great to be back. All right, Job chapter 18. Job 18. We're going to go to chapter 18, 21, and 29, and you'll see kind of where we're going here. Job chapter 18, verse 5 and 6. Remember that Job, the oldest book in your Bible, the oldest, one of the oldest books in the history of man, written books. And 1500 BC approximately, before Christ. And here in Job 18, down in verse 5, it says, "Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him." That's the first time that word is found in your Bible, candle, if you know about the thing about first law, first mention, which doesn't always set the tone of a word, but a lot of times it does. It gives you some meaning or some context. Then chapter 21, if you turn over to chapter 21, turn the page, verse 17, talking about the wicked that, you know, I have to say, when I read this passage and I think about how I was before I became a Christian, I got saved when I was 19. I tell you, as a young man, my parents divorced when I was ninth grade. I lived with my mother. I was just absolute hellion, just mad at the world, questioned authority, and, you know, just one of those rebels. And I was a lot like what this is talking about in verse 14, talking about the wicked. "Therefore they say unto God, depart from us." That's the way I felt. Get out of my life and leave me alone. God, if there is a God, I didn't know. And then, you know, my attitude was much like verse 15. "What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him?" But look at verse 16. It says, verse 17, "How oft is the candle of the wicked put out?" The candle of the wicked. And then chapter 29, and in verse 3, again, here's Job speaking. And he speaks about his life in verse 2, and then verse 3, he says, "When his candle shined upon my head," talking about the Lord, the God, in verse 2, "and when by his light I walked through darkness." You know, a candle is one of the, saw them yesterday, quite a few of them actually. A candle, one of the oldest forms of lighting on the planet, as far as known to man. I mean, you go back in history and, you know, different things that the candles were made out of, you know, beef tallow. People cook with that, you know, now probably a different form of it, but beeswax, during the time when they did all the whaling and so forth, they had spermaceti, you know, that oil that they would get from the, you know, different types of whales. They used that for all kinds of lamps and candles. Most of the candles we use probably from the 19th century on, even to today, are made out of paraffin wax, from what I understand. But candles. I mean, I've been in places in the world where it's, you know, 100 years behind the U.S. I'm not saying they constantly use candlelight, but, you know, there are a lot of places where electricity goes on and off, on and off, on and off, or they don't have good electricity at all. What are they using? Well, they're using some kind of oil lamps sometimes, you know, like, who uses them here? The preppers. It's the only one that, no, a lot of us don't even know how to, if everything went off, I don't know how to live the way they used to live, right? Those days are gone, and I'm raising the city. I don't know how to do a lot of survival stuff anymore. Most of us don't, you know, with seeds and all these different things that are not a lost art. It's out there, but, you know, for most people, we just get used to our modern conveniences and so forth. And so we'll use candles for, you know, decoration, like yesterday, or ambiance, or things like that that you may have. And for those of you that are movie buffs, you know, way back in the day, they had Raiders of the Lost Ark. Remember that movie, you know? And they found the tomb, you know, and they're looking down. They, you know, here's Indy with his buddy, you know, the Arab buddy that's there. They look down. They can't see real good. And he says to Indy, "Why is the floor moving?" Remember, and they had that torch. And he threw the torch down through their light. Down there, what was it? The whole floor was snakes. And Andy goes, "Oh, man, why does it always have to be snakes?" You know? In other words, light, what does it do? Well, it allows us to see in the darkest of places. And those of you who've been in caves and so forth, or in a really dark place, and you just need one candle. And it's amazing how much light. It's going to be diffused out in darkness, you know, outside a certain circle, but pretty amazing. We know that the Lord uses spiritual applications. Go over to the book of Hosea at the end of the, or the beginning of the Minor Prophets, right after Daniel in the book of Hosea. Throughout the Bible, and you see this, those of you that are teachers or have worked in schools or, Master Club or Pirates Club or Awanas or Sunday School or something where, or maybe you, with your work, have taught modular classes or something, or something for somebody else, you know that illustrations, to be able to just communicate, when you sit under people that do, you know, not just necessarily like podcasts, but some of the public speaking and so forth that they do, even lost people or whatever the subject might be, that are really good speakers and they hold your attention and so forth. You don't do that by just getting up there and droning through a speech of some kind. You know, the way you're going to put people to sleep. And sometimes preachers are like that. To me, that's the worst sin that any preacher can commit, is to bore people with the Word of God. Back in the days with the pilgrims and so forth, they said that they used to go through and they had, a guy that his job was, had this long stick with a knocker on the end of it, and, you know, people are doing this business, you know, tap him on the head. And one guy in the congregation said to the preacher, the preacher said to the guy in the congregation, "Wake that man up." He says, "You wake him up. You put him to sleep." Probably a lot of truth to that, right? But that's a terrible thing. But throughout the Bible, all these, look at this illustration here, and it's in Hosea chapter 12. Look what the Lord says in verse 10. "I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets." In other words, if you read the prophets, you're going to see this. And right here in this prophet, Hosea, the very next chapter, look in chapter 13, verse 7. "Therefore I will be unto them," this is the prophet writing and speaking, but it's about the Lord, "as a lion, as a leopard." Well, he's not a literal lion, he's not a literal leopard, but if you know anything about those animals, it's going to tell you something about God. He says, "I'm going to come to you like this." So these illustrations like this, it goes on in chapter 13, verse 8, "as a bear, like a lion." And you'll find this throughout the scriptures. Chapter 14, he goes through this in verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. Here it's not an animal. It has to do with the dew of Israel, as the dew of Israel, as Lebanon, like its country, as the olive tree. So all these illustrations. And illustrating is, it helps us to understand that. I mean, I listen to a guy like Elon Musk, you know, brainiac, right, as far as engineer. You know, well, it's really not rocket science. Well, no, it really is with him, right? But when you find a guy that's that smart, now, sometimes you listen to him talk and it's not hard to follow, but he just has a different way and a cadence of how he speaks. Sometimes there's, you know, a little bit of silence, which is a little awkward sometimes for people. But what's going on? Well, he's not spacing out. He's thinking. He's trying to find the right words. And for somebody to be able to take a difficult, very complicated subject or something that's, the concepts are tough for some of us to grasp, and bring that down into what people call layman's terms, you know, the average person, man, I appreciate that. I love to listen to people like that. I can't stand to listen to people that are using those 50-cent words because they want to wow everybody and talking around a subject. Man, just, you know, tell it like it is. Hit it right across the plate. I get that. And I enjoy listening to whoever it is speak like that. So sometimes, you know, it might be somebody that you're listening to give a TED Talk or something like that. Words introduce types and so forth throughout the Bible. So consider, let's look at this thing about the candle. What's a candle? What does it do? Because the word's used throughout the Bible. First of all, it's used to light an area or a path for guidance. Look in Psalms chapter 18. Those are obvious things. You may not use it now, but you probably have candles in your house just because, right? Say, well, I have what the British call a torch, a flashlight. It's got batteries. Yeah, but sometimes your batteries might have gone dead or whatever, and you just weren't prepared for that, and last line of defense is what? Bic lighter, matches, candle of some kind, right, that you can use. And so in Psalms chapter 18, if you look down in verse 28, what it says there in Psalms chapter 18, verse 28, he says, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." That's what it does. It brings a path for us. And if we were here at night and you could turn off all the lights and just, you've been in a place. I growing up in Texas and Boy Scout, we used to camp a lot with different caves and stuff up in the West Texas where I was from. Palo Duro Canyon, camped there, I don't know how many weekends. And there were a few caves there, but, we always wanted, I never got to go. I spent a lot of time in New Mexico as a kid, skiing and some camping as a Boy Scout. But they have the Carlsbad Caverns, which is well known, and never got to go. But, you can look at that stuff online. You can, virtually visit anywhere you want to go in the world, right? But they'll take you in there. And, of course, any of the caves around the world, whether it's a little modernized or whatever, they take tours in there. They'll all do this. Take you into the place where they warn you, we're turning the lights off, right? Because they'll have some lighting as they go down through there so you can see the different formations, the rock and the beauty of it and so forth. But, man, when they turn that light off, you talk about darkness that you can feel, it's pretty spooky. I've seen too many movies. I grew up on Hollywood and all that stuff and horror flicks. And when the lights go out, this is what I hear. Rear, rear, rear. Turn them on. Scary. And it's darkness they say that you can feel. And literally, like we say, put your hand in front of your face and you can't see it. You may be able to feel, it's that close, but man, when you've got light and you're able to see, what a blessing. And I don't know about you, but if you're in a tunnel or a pathway like that, and you can't see, and there's nobody around you, that feeling of, which can become panic, which is fear and terror that begins to well up. And you hair stands on the back of your neck and you feel like something or someone is behind you. For me, it's never animals. It's always vampires and werewolves and, it's Hollywood, unfortunately. And it's that, you got to be careful. It's that spirit of fear, right, that Hollywood put in me early on. And later as I became a Christian and realized I had troubled dreams and other things, even as a Christian, reading through my Bible one day in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And man, what do you do with that spirit? You cast it out. And so I did that and never had another problem with those particular dreams. But even now, I'm not real comfortable. You get me out in the woods out here, I mean, I had a friend that worked with us a little bit in Greece, Mike Ford. He was Special Forces. Snake eaters, drop these guys in the middle of the woods out there, got a compass, this and that. Hey, he said, I sleep like a baby out there. Not me, dude. Where? I don't hear any sirens. I don't smell any smog. There's no people around, no police or something. I'm not comfortable. Really? I know you guys that like to hunt and fish, you're like, oh, this guy's crazy. No, I'm just a city guy, right? You grew up in the city, well, we have our dangers there. We got our predators there. Out here, you got the woolly kind. We got the ones that, the other kind. So light gives guidance. The second thing, a representative of life's duration. Look in Proverbs chapter 24. The Bible uses this, and we use this as an expression, right, in America. His candle went out. There's all kinds of expressions that we use that are biblical expressions that the average person doesn't know where it came from. Proverbs chapter 24, if you look in Proverbs 24, verse 20, he says, "For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out, snuffed out." Just like yesterday, the young guys came out, right? Christopher and the other brother, I forgot which one, but they had those. I said, "You guys look like you're going to a medieval fair." They got the little thing that's got. But what's the bell thing, right? The bell thing is to snuff out the candles, so you don't have to do it with your fingers or blow them out or whatever. And that's like somebody's life. They get to the end, and the wicked, what happens? They just get snuffed out. For you and I, it's never mentioned that way. For you and I, death is mentioned as a passage to the other side that for us is glorious. Now, it is the unknown. We have not passed this way heretofore. There are exceptions in the Bible. Moses and a few others have experienced that, and maybe we'll get that great opportunity as the type is of Enoch, that he lived for, 300 and something years when everybody else will live in 900 and something years, and then he was not, for God took him, right? It's a type of the believer that never dies and never will die, right? Moses died. He's going to come back and die again in the tribulation. Elijah went up, did not die. Still hasn't died, but he's coming back. Revelation chapter 11, he's going to die. So nobody escapes that but the types of Enoch, which is you and I. But so the way it's mentioned about the wicked in the Bible versus the righteous is different. Just in the sense of the candle going out and life being snuffed out, well, yeah, that's the same, but we have eternal life. Edward Henry Bickerseth said and described the ebbing of his own life as he dreamed this story. He said, quote, "The lamp that hung suspended in my chamber slowly paled and flickered in its socket." He's talking about his life, just watching himself and his life force begin to, flicker out. So the candle's burning flame gets lower and lower, consumes the wax, which would be like the body, and the wick grows shorter and shorter, showing that, really the end is near. Look in Proverbs chapter 31. This thing about a candle indicates and has to do with work or toil. I remember reading about Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln growing up, in the log cabin and all the different, stories about that, which was not a story, it was reality. And, like a lot of people at that time, they didn't live with electricity. Sometimes they didn't have good lamps. And so if they loved to read, which many of them did, because there was no Hollywood, right? There's nothing visual. Everybody read, or they wanted to read, or they wanted to learn how to read, because that's how you entered into a world that you didn't know, right? That others have recorded, and fiction or nonfiction or travel or this or that, that you could enter into this world that is described by these symbols and words and picture language on there. And Abe Lincoln, his sight was affected by why? Because he's reading by chimney light, fireside light. Not good. Proverbs chapter 31, and it says in verse 18, "She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night." Has to do with work, has to do with toil. We have the expression, I've been burning the midnight oil. What is that? You're up late. You're doing stuff. And man, today, with the devices, electricity, and so forth, it's, to the point where it's affected people's circadian rhythm and all that. So they tell you, it's like, man, we do need in some ways to go back to the 19th century, because people didn't have those problems then. They went to bed with the chickens and they got up with the chickens. Today, we eat the chickens. They're not around to wake us up. And if you're somewhere where you hear a cockadoodle, shut up. It's too early, man. But then there's something to be said. Some of you that are morning people, I'm not one. So you have to train yourself to, get in that rhythm to get up earlier. But man, there's something to be said if you're not retired, but you're still working a job where your life is very busy, especially if you're a family man, or you're the wife, and so a lot of you wives that are married, you have to work also, the day and age that we live in today. And that getting up, I'm not telling you to do this, but where people propagate getting up at 4:30, 5 a.m., 5:30, you have some quiet time. It may not be for somebody that's describing it, may not be a Christian. They're not reading their Bible. They're just getting up to have some peaceful time without, the pitter-patter of, here they come. And then there's no peace to the wicked after that, right, once they get up. And then your life starts, your day starts, and wow, just you fall into bed at night just like, how did I get through all that, right, with everything that happens. So it indicates work or toil. Then look in Jeremiah chapter 25. We're just looking at a lot of verses here. If you get your concordance out or one you got on your phone, you can find all these verses. Very simple study. Jeremiah 25, verse 10. When a candle or the light of the candle is taken away, darkness is all that remains. If that's the only form of light, once that's snuffed out, there's nothing left in its place but darkness. That's why it talks about where does light dwell? No, it doesn't dwell. Darkness dwells. Light moves 186,000 miles per second, right? As soon as you turn on the light, it, whoom, you can't see that, but the light rays go to a certain point where they dissipate, and then eventually they don't reach out that far, right? And that's why they talk about stars and so forth, where the light from that star, which, you know, this is kind of crazy, right? You're looking at, I don't know, Mars and or Venus, you know, in the night sky, and they're saying the light from that planet, or, you know, the moonlight that, you know, reflects the light of the sun that comes down to Earth, it takes X amount of light years to get here. My brain just goes, okay, I'll take your word for it. But what I'm seeing has light in it. Well, they're like, well, yeah, but it got light travel. Okay, I get it. But that's about as far as I want to go with that. So let's keep moving. Jeremiah 25:10, he says, moreover, he said, I will take from them the voice of mirth. This is the Lord talking about going to use Nebuchadnezzar in verse 9 to punish Israel. And he says, I'm going to take away from them the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. The light of the candle. What's going to happen? Just something that's basic that they need is going to be taken away from them. And what's going to be in its place? Darkness. He's talking about a nation. Like our nation. What happened to common sense? Well, it might be making a resurgence with the present administration. You know, with all of the, with all the, what they're trying to do what? This is a simple thought, right? I mentioned it yesterday in the thing about being contrarian in your finances, which means what? Live within your means. What does that mean? You make $100, you don't spend $110. Or 102. Our government makes X amount and spends times 30. Our debt to GDP, which is gross national, domestic product, means what's our debt? Our debt is 125% more or above. You know, it's 25% above what we make. Nobody here can sustain a family, a business, an individual, a church. You can't do that. So why can't they just say to the Democrats or the liberals or whoever's upset about this, hey, here's a novel idea. We can't afford it anymore. You've gotten used to living like this, but you can't do this anymore because once the bubble bursts, you're not going to like that. Go back to Russia and other countries where they have defaulted on their currency. It's awful. You can read in history, 20th century. Germany, after the First World War, what happened? Their currency inflated. Why? Because they printed, and there's nothing behind it like we've done in America. And they're bringing barrelfuls, literally, and buckets full of money to buy a loaf of bread. Because it's not worth anything, right? So will that happen in America? Not yet, but that's what they're afraid of. That's what a guy like Mr. Musk is saying. Hey, this is common sense. You can't live this way. I can't live this way. I'm a businessman. I can't run my business like this. And the businesses that did that, you can go back to the dot-com era, 2000s, the early 2000s, and that's what happened to them. They were all this venture capital money, and they were spending, burning through cash. And a guy like Warren Buffett's like, yeah, this doesn't make any sense to me. Why? Because you've been 1 year without profits, 2 years without profits, 3 years without profits. What kind of business is this? Until finally, what happened? Crash. At some point, you have to become profitable, right? And you have to learn to live within your means. And so when it comes to light that's taken away, you're left with just darkness. And if it's a nation, it's been said in the past, light rejected becomes lightning. Now, I won't say that that always is 100% of the time. I rejected the gospel one time, two times. I'm talking about a clear presentation. Three times, four times that I can remember. And the fifth time around, nobody actually led me to Christ, but I came to the realization, if there is a God and the Bible's correct, I'm in a heap of trouble. And I want to get this thing fixed up. And so I got saved. But man, you talk about the mercy of God. He'd have been perfectly just and snuffing me out, but he didn't. And so, the danger for us in America is we're afraid of our nation, the nation that we live in. Other nations around the world, they have the same fear about their nation, that it might be snuffed out. Look at this in Matthew chapter 5. What time you stop, brother? About now? Okay. Matthew chapter 5. You know this passage, Matthew chapter 5. This is a type of a Christian's testimony, you know, about the candle not put under the basket and so forth. He says in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 15, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And you can read that in the companion passage in Luke. And what is this? Christian's testimony. Get an opportunity. Several days ago, just the day before we traveled, needed fuel in the vehicle. And so I took it up to Costco and was filling it up. And I always have tracks. I have some of the tracks that you may still have here. It's the military track, Spared. It's the testimony of a guy that got saved and was in wartime and so forth. It's a great track. And saw the guy behind me, you know how the Costco is, there are two or three vehicles there. And the guy had on his tag, was Purple Heart something. It was a Hispanic guy, and went over, got one of those tracks, and I went over, and he was filling up, and I said, "Hey, saw your tag, military." He says, "Yes." I said, "Hey, man, thank you for your service." And he shook my hand, and I said, "Hey, you want to take this and read this? This would be a good one for you." It's got a, he saw the front, and he's like, "Oh, yeah." And I saw him, stick that in his pocket. I've been able to fill in while I've been gone quite a bit for several different preachers. And one of them is in Las Vegas, Mitch Service. He's had a lot of health problems, and so from time to time I'll go there and help out for sometimes a month or 5-6 weeks or, a week or two that he might be gone. And the last, it was last year when I was there, I went out to Mount Clarkson or whatever that's out, west of Vegas. And I went up there, I was going to do some trail, not running, but, walking on some trails. Well, they'd had some real bad rain, washed out all the trails, and Park Service had all these things closed, but I got up there, and there's this really nice lodge, so I went inside the lodge, and I'm just wandering around looking, and man, I this is the middle of the day, man, like on a Monday or a Tuesday, and I stopped, and I looked around, and I'm in the bar. Well, I went over to the window like, I'm not here for that. I'm over here looking at the nature, I turned around, and who's sitting at the bar? I couldn't believe it. Two Hell's Angels with their colors on, their jackets. I've never seen a Hell's Angel with their colors on, ever. I've seen the Outlaws, I've seen the Banditos, I've seen several other clubs, usually riding with 50 or 100 motorcycles, pretty intimidating, but here's two guys up at the bar, it's like, whew. And I had seen these bikes when I walked in, I said, man, those are beautiful, I wonder who that belongs to. Oh, wow, now I know, So as I walked out, I was done. I got in the car, and I was leaving, and I got just around the corner, and it's like the Lord said, hey, what about those Hell's Angels? You got Brother David Spurgeon's tracks on. He was a one percenter with the Outlaws. Why don't you, really, Lord, do I have to do this? They're Hell's Angels. What if? Well, I went back, and they had left the bar. They were out by their bikes, and one guy was on his phone. I went up to the other and said, hey, man, beautiful bikes. I saw them coming and going, and I have to tell you, I stood here looking at your bikes for a little while. They're really nice, lit up because they love their bikes. And I said, hey, I want to give you guys, I know you're busy, I want to give you these and leave you later. This guy was a one percenter with the Outlaw. He's a bad dude. And he became a Christian. And I don't know what you think about that, but I'm just going to ask you to read this, and I think you're going to like this. And man, they both took the tracks, stuck them in their pocket. What is that? That's you and me. I'm not blowing up mine, but you do the same. That's being light in a place where, hey man, who's going to go up to these people? I don't really have the courage, but you know, the Holy Spirit of God, he works you through it. So a candle can give light. That's all, you know, that's all. It doesn't have the power to clean up what it sees. So we're done with time, but when you look in the scriptures, the word of God is likened unto a candle light. Psalms 119, it has the power, unlike a candle or a torch of some kind. Those things can light up the area and show you where the dirt is, but they don't clean it up. The word of God shows you where the dirt is and does the cleaning. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You're a Christian, you can read all about the Bible, you can read all the commentaries you want, you can listen to all the podcasts you want, you can go to Bible school and learn all the how-to stuff, but man, if you don't stick your face in this book and read this book day in and day out and get and memorize it, you got a lot of filth when you get saved. This will scrub and clean. All those commercials you see of the, you know, the little scrubbers that do this and that, you know, that's what this book does. It's amazing. Even if you don't feel it. Sometimes I read the Bible like, what did I get out of there? I don't know. I didn't even remember what I read. You have that happen, right? Times when, you know, you don't feel anything, but it's going on because it's a supernatural book. And when you open this book, it does something to you spiritually that has to do with cleaning. And the last thing, there's no need for candles out in the future, right? No more need for candles or even the sunlight. Why? The Lord God is the sun thereof. So I hope you were blessed by that. Remember Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. All right, preacher. Thank you.